aware of it. We have seen it close up in the parishes that we have been involved in. Perhaps we ourselves have been involved in it at times. Conflict is not easy, but we should not be surprised that it exists. Satan works overtime in the church, saving his days off for less important venues. Yes, churches have terrorists, just as our nation does. They are not necessarily bent upon blowing up church buildings, although that has happened, but they would rather like to destroy the very body of Christ itself. What the Lord tells us about in our reading from Acts today is the first recorded conflict within the young church, the church of Pentecost, the Jerusalem church. There were only Jews involved, but there were two types. The Hellenized Jewish Christians, those who had taken on the cultural ways and the Greek language, were complaining that the Aramaic and Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians were neglecting the Hellenist widows in the daily distribution of food and other items. Now, most likely the Hellenized Christians were a minority, and that's often the case, that conflict often involves a minority. Now, this wasn't just a simple minor dispute, but it was really a major dispute. For the matter of the care of widows is one that is major for God himself. At Sinai, after the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Lord himself reminds the people not to neglect the widows. The Psalms refer to widows and even call the Lord a judge for widows. James tells us that the true religion is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. There is something about the care of widows, and indeed today about others in our church who are less fortunate, that reflects upon the very character and the very essence of Christianity itself. Well, how was the complaint, how was the conflict in the Jerusalem church resolved? The complaints were brought to the 12 apostles. Instead of being defensive, as people in church leadership sometimes can be, they listened. They deemed the complaint a valid one. So they called a meeting of all of the disciples, all of the Jerusalem believers. You see, they listened to the Reverend Jack Cashion, and they called a voters meeting. And in that meeting, the people elected 7 men to oversee the distribution of food to the widows. The problem was solved, the conflict was resolved in an orderly fashion in the church. Now, to be sure, there are some perplexing things about this election of deacons. We never hear another word in Scripture about Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, or Nicholas. And the two that we do hear about, Stephen and Philip, are never again mentioned in connection with social ministry, with the feeding of widows. They are only mentioned in connection with the proclamation of the word. Apparently, at some point following this incident, they were ordained into the office of the holy ministry, moving from deacon to pastor. But the main thing is that the church had survived its first internal crisis. And the church had done this in a way that was consistent with the gospel itself. Christ proclaimed himself as the Word of God incarnate. But he also physically cared for people through miracles and through miraculous feedings. Now the infant church had the means to do both of these things. The apostles and the pastors under them would preach the word and administer the sacraments. The deacons would oversee the charity of the church. Think about your experience with congregations in the past. Often the congregation does only one of these things well. It might do a fine job preaching and administering the sacraments through its pastor, or it might do a fine job in the area of social welfare, Christian charity. But often the other is lacking. What clearly God is saying here is that both of these are necessary. And you see, he says that because the Christian life is composed of only two things, faith and love. Both are gifts of God as he works through his Holy Spirit in the means of grace. Faith, knowing that Christ's life, death, and resurrection are your life, death, and resurrection. And love, being the vehicle for Christ's love flowing in and through you, through word and sacrament, to go out and love and help others. Someday, many of you will be a pastor in the Lord's church. For some, that will come very soon. For some, it may be a few years. And I promise you, you will have conflict in your parishes as well. As you deal with that conflict, don't get embroiled in all sorts of side issues. Remember faith and love. Faith, the truth of the gospel. Love, the fruit of the gospel in action. When the gospel of Christ and his love for the world shines, even in the darkest conflict, the will of God is indeed being done. Remember that many issues in parishes really don't have eternal significance. You need to help people see that. But help them also see the one issue that does have eternal significance, the salvation of their soul, freely given in Christ Jesus. And you yourself, even as you're going through these trials in your parishes ultimately, when conflict comes your way, you can be comforted knowing that the ultimate battle has already been won. Won on the cross of Christ for you. His victory is your victory. As you gather, as the church, even here, he feeds you with his body, he sends his word into your ears and into your hearts. This is your personal sustenance for all times, including those of conflict. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.